So tonight is session 8. The brain and the mind are two different things. We've got the hardware and we've got the software. We've talked about that earlier. This is interesting as it relates to those things. If you look at the voluntary and involuntary columns that are on the screen, we can't directly control how we feel. For instance, the brain, speaking and moving is in the brain, and that's voluntary. We choose to speak, we choose to move. This is obvious, but you don't tell your heart to beat, and you don't tell yourself to breathe. This is involuntary functions, both of those coming from the brain. And similarly, the software piece of that, the mind, has the similar functions in that there's a voluntary part, what we choose to believe. And what we've said from the beginning is we have a choice. And we have a choice to believe the truth or we have a choice to believe the lies. And oftentimes, what we found the last few weeks is oftentimes we're deceived. We don't realize things we believe to be true are not. And therefore, we're living our lives in a way that doesn't reflect the truth. Your emotions are to your soul what your ability to feel pain is to your body. I've said this another way. It's lights on the dashboard. Your emotions are the lights on your dashboard. And all of us have had the check engine light come on the car, yet we continue to drive. When we emotionally break down, okay, when we emotionally break down, we need to realize that something's going on spiritually and with our souls. And oftentimes, we run through life and we start to encounter depression or anxiety. Maybe we start to have panic attacks. We start undergoing these emotional changes, maybe deep, dark, depression. Could be other parts and pieces of this emotionally. And those are lights on the dashboard. And I can tell you, all of us have lights come on the dashboard. They should come on the dashboard. It's part of living in this life. And the more I read my Bible, the more I realize that suffering is a part of the human condition. Freedom in Christ is not about how to get out of all of your suffering. It's really how to connect with God through that. Jesus told a story, a parable about the righteous and the unrighteous, and he basically said the rain comes to all, those who build their house on the rock and those who build their house on the sand, and inevitably the storms come. I can guarantee you what's ahead. There will be challenges. The question is, when those come, where are you spiritually? And oftentimes the first thing that picks up on this, our antenna, are our emotions. If what you believe does not reflect the truth, and what you feel will not reflect the reality. If we walk around believing things that aren't true, then we will respond emotionally to things that are not real. And it happens every day. For instance, here's a simple story. The rumor gets out that the place that you work may be bought out or they're downsizing. And so rumors start to fly, and sure enough, you get an email from your boss that says, I need to speak with you Friday morning in my office. So what you do is your brain starts to work, and you start making conclusions. You start drawing conclusions, and you start to believe, I know what's happened. I see some other things that have happened. I'm pretty sure Friday's my last day in the office. So you walk in with this anxiety and this dread, and you guys have already started looking for other jobs. You're already ready for this because this has been so hard. It's been so drawn out, and you know, and you want to protect yourself. And the boss comes in and says, basically, we're going to have to consolidate, but we want you to lead this new department. We would like to put some folks over here, and we want you to lead this new group, and we're wondering if you're interested. So what went from, I'm down, what am I going to do, I'm confused, I'm anxious, all of a sudden, emotionally, now where are you? You're up here because what you expected to happen didn't happen. It actually surpassed what you were expecting, and now you're excited. You grab the phone, you text, can't believe this. They just offered me another position. And so you're like, what? But emotionally, you can see how you would be affected on that. And we play these scenarios over and over in our lives every week, every day, with our kids, with our spouse, with the people we love, what we expect. You know, oftentimes if that's exceeded, we're excited, and if our expectations aren't met, oftentimes we're down or disappointed. Takes time, guys. And so wherever you are, don't be discouraged because you're not where you want to be. Continue to believe the truth. The truth is what stands when everything else falls. And so we build our lives on what is true and what is right. Like the truth is, we're just really immature. We're just really impatient. We just really want it now. And what we don't understand is if we'll look back across our lives, we'll realize that so much of what we've sown is finally growing, and we don't like it, so we start planting things differently. But it takes time to grow trees. Takes time. And so don't be discouraged wherever you are in your spiritual journey. So let's do this. You can tell you guys are about to go to sleep, so let's turn out the lights and take a quick nap. No. Pause for thought. One, there's questions there in your book, and it's really a reflection of what Jay stopped and shared with about Jeremiah's interaction, how he went from downcast to thinking right and how it affected him. And so look at those, mainly the first two questions there, if you can move beyond that. But look at those first two questions, the pause for thought. And then we'll spend about 5 minutes, you guys discuss it as a group, and we'll come back and talk about it. You said that about the word, it reminded me, and I'd never made the connection after showing you the plant. But did you see the plant move? It's amazing that plants move that much, but they're trying to adjust to the sunlight in most cases. They're trying to get optimal positioning. And what the word is not earning God's favor. What prayer is not trying to get to God. All of those are positioning ourselves to receive the sun. When the flower grows, the flower doesn't say, "Look what I did." It comes through us, but it is not us. It's no longer I who live, it's Christ in me. There's a spiritual, John 15:5, the vine and the branches. Jesus says it different ways. But spiritual fruit, the flower itself, comes through. And you could say the rain of trials in life, but all the flower does. And this was huge for me because I always thought I was trying to get to God. I thought my prayer time was, I'm trying to get to Him. No, you're not trying to get to Him. He is raining down. His Spirit is alive and well. He is inside of you. What you're trying to do is to position yourself to receive from Him. And you're not earning anything. He does the work. He does the growing. We just kind of wiggle. That's how we abide. It's a resting. And it's not through that. And so somehow we can so in our performance culture get church stuff, classes like this, going to prayer meeting. All of those are efforts to somehow get something out of God. And God didn't want us to get. He wants to give it to us, but what he wants us to do is get into this place to receive. And what we don't realize is all the trials, He's trying to get us to this place. He's wanting to position us so we go, as Jay kept saying, I got to the end of myself. I got to the end of me. And what that's another way of saying is I was leaning into God like I've never leaned into God. I was opening up myself to get all I could get from Him. And this is the place where we meet Jesus. This is where He's close. It's the fellowship of His suffering. Paul said, I want to know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Jesus is the suffering servant. As believers in Christ, let me tell you, the encouragement thing, wherever you're struggling right now, that is the place where you are closest to really having a connection with God. Because He doesn't want what you offer. He doesn't want my strength. He wants my weakness. If we look at this really quick, and this is just another way of saying it, if we believe the truth, then it affects our behavior and ultimately our feelings of follow. This is just, it's the same way. You can't feel your way into good behavior. You start to believe the truth, and it affects the way you behave. We've said this from the beginning. When you look at your behavior, and your behavior does not reflect Christian behavior, don't start working on your behavior. That's all I ever did. I wanted to look like a Christian. Let me change what I'm doing, and therefore I'll be a Christian. Wrong. You change your beliefs. You go back because the truth is you are not believing the truth. If you believe the truth, the flower grows. If the flower's not growing, don't start shaking the vine. It's not the vine. It's that you're not believing the truth. I believe the truth. No, you don't. You don't believe it. I believe Jesus is with me. No, you don't. If the fruit's not coming out, it's not behavior. And so what we want to quickly do is start manipulating people's behavior and our own. You don't need a behavior change. You need to start believing the truth. You need to expose the lies that you believe. You say you believe the word. What you really believe is your performance, your ability to control people, your ability to manipulate others is what's going to bring about your happiness. It's not. You believe that. You say you believe God, but you don't. Your behavior shows something else. Always go back to the belief. All right, so becoming emotionally honest is what this is about. Boy, that sounds like so Oprah-ish. I'm sorry. It just is. So in your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. And don't give the devil a foothold. Anger, the Bible allows for anger. It doesn't say never be angry. What it says is, in your anger, don't basically give the devil a foothold. And this is so important. And so it's okay to be angry, but it's not okay to continue to be angry about something. This class is about learning to resolve that, okay? Anger is allowed. Jesus was angry. The Apostle Paul was angry. Everybody gets angry. If you're alive, you're going to get angry. I was the kind of guy, and this is a good place to stop. I saw so much anger in the nuclear family that I came from. So much bitterness, anger, physically and emotionally. Just anger, 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 that I suppressed that anger. And so I thought God wanted me to come and just come before Him when I prayed and act not angry. Lord, I'm not angry about that. Really angry. You know, I don't want to be angry because God won't approve of my emotions. And what I found out is God didn't want me to hide that. He just wanted me to deal with it in a different way. Anxiety is another way. If you continue to suppress, a lot of times anger comes out of that. Cast your anxiety on Him, for He cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. 1 Peter 5, 7, and 8. Isn't it interesting that the devil prowling around, seeking someone to devour, is connected back to anxiety? I mean, that's where we are as a culture, anxiety. I'm just anxious. I don't know what to do. I'm scared. I'm nervous. I'm mad. And so it's connected, and this has a spiritual root. It always does. All of these things do. And so sometimes we're like, 7 cups of coffee, 2 packs of cigarettes, you know, 6 cans of Skull. I'm not nervous. I'm calm as a kitten. No, you're not. You're not. No, you're not. You're not. Take that out of your hand. I promise you, you'll be nervous. All right. So some people basically deal with their emotions in different ways. Some of us cover it up because we want to act like we have it all together. David in Psalm 32, this is interesting, verse 3, he said, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was sapped as in the summer heat." An unhealthy way is really to suppress or cover up these emotions. We may be angry or anxious, so we're just going to pretend we're not. If I don't act like I am, then I won't be. That's the worst kind of anxiety to have, and that's kind of the kind that I had. It's like, I'm just going to act like I'm not anxious, and so somehow I won't be. That doesn't work. That gets you an upper GI, gets you several other tests with the doctor, but that's a whole... All right. Oh, the other way is the exploding kind. This is the kind where they're like, psst, you can hear the fuse going off, you see the redness coming, and then it's just like, boom! Right? And typically, James 1:19, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God requires. This is what I call old school anger. Newer generations of folk have been taught to be nicer. It's like, don't be mean. Well, this kind, the person after they explode typically, they feel a lot better, but everyone around them is like bloody because they were like, woo, got that off my chest. And, you know, they just cussed everybody out and told them where to go. And they're like, oh, I feel so much. And the other people are just like, I can't believe you just said that to me. And so that's a way to deal with it, and that's not really loving. So you can hide it, you can explode. And the other one is just to acknowledge the way that you feel. David says this, "Then I acknowledged my sin to the Lord and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray while he may be found." Basically, David went from this suppression in his experience here to just being honest about it. And the greatest thing I could encourage you, one of the benefits of coming through a class like this and thinking rightly, is it helps you align. When you come to pray to God, you're not bringing your best. We don't bring our best to Him. Jesus was the best. His blood was enough. And He's this mediator. And now we go directly to God through Christ. We can pray. And so when we come honestly. And if we want to develop an intimate, close relationship with Abba Father, you don't come with our stale, okay, protect me and my kids and watch over me. Let's go. I pray that. You pray that. We all pray that. But if we're going to know God deeper, we're going to have to come with Him and just say, this is where I am. I'm angry. I'm lonely. I'm scared. I'm mad. I'm helpless. This is how Jesus prayed. And what we do is we look at Jesus and go, no, I'm going to pray better than Him. And I think if we could just get to honesty, if we could get to honesty, we would all grow in our relationship with Him. I'm not going to read all of this, but Psalm 103, if you want to do something to completely wreck some of your theology and thinking, is go read David basically praying about an enemy he had. He's basically like, kill his kids, break his neck, throw him in the ditch, run over him 4 times. I mean, this is David's prayer, and you're like, what's that doing in the Bible? Did somebody else put that in there? Did God let that be put in there? And the question is, have you ever felt like that? The truth is, David was being honest. He's just being honest. You know, he didn't go in like, you know, Lord, just save him and his family. He was mad. He was mad, but we don't want to be honest. And the reason sometimes we're struggling and we don't feel close to God is we're not bringing Him the real us. We put the real us behind us and we bring this, like He can't see. Like He doesn't get what's going on, but we do that. I do that. I've done that. I'm trying to break free of that, be honest with Him. And the question is, have you ever prayed like that? Have we ever been honest enough? It does so much with your intimacy with God to be honest with Him. And if you've never sat before Him and just told Him what's on your heart, that's what prayer is. And the truth is, many of us have never really gotten to that part of prayer. We're still telling God what we think He wants to hear. We're still telling Him what He thinks. Listen, He already knows. He's not waiting for magic words. We're going, okay, let me see. How do I work this one out? Like we're making a deal at the bank. Sorry, Greg, that's all I could come up with. We're just trying to tell them what they want to hear. Oh, yeah, I've had this job for 5 days. So, God already knows how we feel. The Bible says we know before we ask Him. And it says approach Him boldly, confidently. We approach Him from where we are. The question is, why can't we be honest? So look at this last pause for thought in your book. Again, spend, somebody read it, one or two people respond, and we'll come back and close briefly. So just look at that as a table together. Pause for thought two. We'll tie off tonight and kind of tie it into next week with these two things. The fact is, we've all been hurt. I mean, when Rhonda said that, when you're sharing that, we've all been wounded by people, intentionally or unintentionally, in our past. We could all go back and find some of that. And if we don't resolve those things, we carry them into our future. And a part of this that we've talked about over and over is that sometimes we haven't resolved the past, even as believers. We've stepped over it, we've tiptoed around it, and we've moved on with our life. But at like a bad Friday the 13th movie, it just keeps coming back. And we know that when we run into these people and we see them, or if we meet people that reminds us of them, and instantly those emotions come back. And so it's not what happened to us that keeps us stuck. It's what we believe about that. It's those truth, to not believe the lies and believe the truth. And these are the last two thoughts. We're not primarily products of our past, but Christ's work on the cross and His resurrection. This is our defining identity, that God in Christ Jesus was reconciling us to Himself. The fact that we have a substitute changes everything for us. And this is our primary identity as redeemed, born-again believers. The old person died. And then nobody can fix the past, but it's about being free from it and choosing to forgive and move on. Our wounds shape us. Jesus had nail scars in His hands and His feet post-resurrection. Paul's body was bruised and beaten and torn to shreds. But our scars are a reminder of our past, but they don't hold us there. And the whole point is here is we can be free from that and we can move on. We will never forget. We will never forget the things of our past. You will never forget the things that have challenged you and defined you and the phone calls that came late at night to say somebody had died. You won't forget that. But you can move beyond that and let God shape you from that. So here's what I have for you. Is really, I think it's, I don't know the page, but there was a thing there that's on 67. It's 67 that says like truth, belief, and emotion. Review that this week. Just go back and look over that when you get home in the morning. If you don't have a quiet time, grab that and look at that. Challenge yourself to believe rightly, to affect your emotions. And we'll be back in next week